we get a chance to chat one more time with the 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. He's in studio with us today, actually back from Olympia, where we were chatting with him throughout the 2020 legislative sessions, which just wrapped up at the tail end of last week. And of course, we'll be talking with Brad throughout the course of the rest of the year, but not quite as frequently. So this will be our last opportunity to really put a bow on things from a retrospective look at the legislative sessions for 2020. We, of course, are going to crunch on coronavirus here this morning, along with a response bill to that, which has been put in place by the Senate and House, and also about those three budgets that were passed, and one of which Brad wasn't too happy with and did not vote on. But Brad, it's good to see you here.
Good to be with you, Chris. Good to be in studio. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure to talk to you throughout the 2020 legislative sessions, which, I mean, I hate to do this, but I guess I did this with Keith and Mike. So is there a letter grade that you would give this year's sessions at all, Brad, or any kind of an overall one word or one term to describe it now that it's all done?
Well, probably I'd give it a B plus. I mean, I think we did really well, both parties. You know, we got along very well with each other. There was good bipartisan cooperation most of the time. I think until the coronavirus sort of just blew a hole in the whole state budget and operations, we were on track to do pretty good job. And so I'd say B plus, which I think is good.
Yeah,
absolutely. On a roll.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of your pundits would not nearly be that high, I guess, as far as legislators are concerned. But of course, government's one of those jobs that's easy to take a shot at. Talking about coronavirus, you know, again, it's really top of mind for everybody these days, Brad. So let's talk about how, from your perspective, it affected business at the legislature down the home stretch of the sessions. And also, I think more importantly, going forward, now that the sessions have adjourned for the year, what it is that you and your other constituents will be doing to help keep apprised of the situation and help keep Washington moving during this.
Yeah, what a difference a couple weeks makes. You know, just last week I was there in the legislature on the final day of session, which was March 12th. The chair of the Education Committee and I'm the ranking member of Senate Education Committee. We went down to the governor's office to talk about this upcoming announcement about school closures in three counties, King, Pierce, and Snohomish. And Seattle School District at that time had already taken some pretty aggressive steps to shut their schools temporarily. And I thought, well, that's pretty aggressive, but, you know, that seems appropriate. And then only, you know, just a day later, we had adjourned session, approved the budgets, approved an enhanced coronavirus response bill. And then the next day, the governor expanded that school closure statewide. And now here we are with yesterday's announcement about dining in establishments for restaurants and limiting the gatherings even further. So things have really changed. Obviously, the economic outlook for the state of Washington is a big concern for many people, including us as legislators, because we once had a very, very healthy statewide economy. The national economy was doing really well too. And then any budget, for example, like the operating budget in the state, is based on an assumption of revenues and projected expenditures. And if those revenues don't materialize as we had anticipated, you know, it may not be the only time we're back in session this year, because there is a possibility that we could go back for a special session, either to respond to additional needs related to COVID-19 or to make some adjustments to the budget that the legislature just approved. So it's a very interesting time, an unprecedented time. And my heart goes out to all the families and all the businesses across our district and state. And hopefully, at best, you know, this will just be a short-term situation.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been said that I couldn't agree with more is that by the numbers, at least, this is going to get worse before it gets better. But the governor wrapping up his words yesterday at the press conference, I think in grand fashion, if I might say so myself, by trying to put a ray of light on this, saying this too shall pass. I mean, you know, I think we all kind of feel that way and are hoping for that, but we're bracing for the worst.
I hope that's the case. You know, what I have learned as I've come to study a little bit about what has transpired in China is that the country essentially, my understanding is, shut itself down, which seems like the approach that the state of Washington is now taking. And that has finally helped curb some of the spread of the virus. But now, once everybody starts resuming their normal activities in China, is there going to be a second wave? And so that's another thing that is very interesting. And for Washington State, you know, we're hearing about, you know, all these things, and the governor is leading. The governor is taking executive actions. Some of these decisions are decisions that the legislature had prior knowledge of, but a lot of these recent decisions are related to gatherings and restaurants are decisions that the governor has entirely made on his own, which is within his authority under emergency powers. But, you know, Washington State is the epicenter of COVID-19 outbreak in the United States. And so obviously Washington State has to probably take more aggressive steps than some of these other states. And we are, like it or not, we are having to lead the way in response to this, which is very unfortunate in many regards, but we have to take aggressive steps, and that's what we're seeing.
And Brad, you and I were just discussing opportunities amidst a troubled time like this, though, too, but it could also be looked at as that. Washington, again, through its leadership, Inslee, yourself, others, your constituents in the legislature have an opportunity to lead the way as far as a model for what other states should do to prevent the spread of COVID-19 there, because obviously we know this is going to sweep across the country rather quickly.
Yeah, and really, you know, my wife and I has had a discussion about this recently, and I know a lot of families obviously are huddled around each other having these discussions, but really it's these steps that Washington State is taking to help prevent the spread of the virus further. And so it's not so much that, you know, in Chelan and Douglas County, for example, that we have, I don't believe we have any documented cases to date, but that could change. People could have symptoms right now and be tested, but in order to help minimize the spread, we're taking these aggressive steps. So it's really one way to look at it is not to panic. That is, it's really more of a precautionary measure to help slow things down so that we can try to get in front of it if that's possible.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And on the note, I was just going to say, Brad, of those cases locally, we'll be going over the latest numbers with CEO of Confluence Health, Dr. Peter Rutherford, and their Dr. Jason Lake next hour this morning to get people caught up. We sort of technically have one case because of that fatality, but that person was a Grant County resident mm-hmm. who actually died at the hospital here. Mm-hmm. So you put an asterisk next to that one, and I believe at last check we had a few over four dozen that were tested for coronavirus. Those results all still pending. So we know it's a matter of when, not if, as far as coronavirus affects officially reaching Chelan County. It's just a matter of what we'll do with it. And also on that note, too, before we get back to talking, Brad, I just want to let our listeners know that I got it on good information that Chelan County Commissioners this morning at 8 o'clock, about 20 minutes from now, will declare a state of emergency here in Chelan County. And we'll have more on that from our KOZI correspondent, Jeff Conwell in Chelan. We're talking with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins in studio today here on the Coho Morning Show. Brad, let's shift from coronavirus real quickly just to general operations, the budgets. You wanted to talk about those a little bit as far as transportation, capital, and operating. You were pleased with two of them, or happy enough with two of them, but one, not so much.
Well, yeah, so we have three budgets in the state, the operating, the transportation, and the capital budgets. I voted for the capital and transportation budgets. I thought, you know, in terms of a scorecard for the transportation budget writers, they were faced with some significant loss of revenue from that CARTAB initiative, which so many of us supported, and we wanted the people's will to be upheld. But they managed to make adjustments to the transportation budget without significantly impacting projects, just right, you know, really crunching all the numbers. So kudos to them. So I voted for those two budgets. Now, the operating budget, which funds the day-to-day operations of the state of Washington, I felt simply just spent too much money, you know, in the final budget. We thought the Senate budget that was proposed a couple weeks earlier was a much better budget. But, you know, even then, when you take a step back and have a consideration of what could what this coronavirus could do to impact state revenues, we have a lot of concerns in the state of Washington. And so even though the budget writers, House and Senate, got together and they reserved about $3 billion in the reserve account as it was projected, it's still a $53 billion budget. And we have over a year to go in this current biennium. And with, you know, everything that's happening with COVID-19, I just don't feel like it's prudent to spend so much of the state taxpayer dollars. I think it would probably be better to hold on to those and build up our reserve account even further rather than taking the step to make the commitment to those expenditures. So that's the main reason I voted against the operating budget. But another thing we did in that final day is we approved a COVID-19 response bill. It was initially tapped at $100 million. It would be a utilization of the budget stabilization account, or what was known as a rainy day fund. But we actually bumped it up to $200 million because we were uncertain whether we could or how quickly we could come back for a special session given the restrictions on large gatherings. So we took that step to provide some additional authorization to the Department of Health, and that was unanimously supported in both the Senate and the House and has been signed by the governor. So three heavy lifts just in those final couple days, and I'm glad we were able to get done. And I'll tell you what, Chris, but when that gavel adjourned, we scattered like mice. I mean, I'd never seen a legislature so full, and the Capitol Dome with all its advocates and all the staff. And I would imagine just in a matter of hours, it was pretty much empty.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me at all. And again, as we talk about the response bill that was enacted, and then the fact that, you know, in your minds, a lot of, again, your constituents' minds, there was a lot of overspending that took place once again. Maybe there is sort of a lining of panacea, if you will, forgive the metaphor, but within this context, because perhaps the coronavirus outbreak here in the state will teach more legislators a lesson about, you know, spending of a fiscal nature, a more responsible fiscal nature, if that's what you and a lot of others are looking to see happen. And I think the people of Washington State, regardless of who they support politically, Brad, and you know what their political views are, they just want to know that when something like this happens, that it doesn't become a financial crisis for the state of Washington, that things are managed to a point where we are prepared for this and our responses are appropriate and other systems of our government are not coming into jeopardy of, you know, going by the way because of something like this, mm-hmm. because of, you know, irrational spending, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and it's always a balancing act, you know, between more you know, some people see it as more government spending. Other people see it as critical state investments. And so it just depends on what set of lenses you're looking through. But I think, you know, during these difficult times, I'm always a supporter of, you know, trying to, you know, hold back some of your money, and, you know, cash is king, and having that ability to make some more investments later. Because if we couldn't predict as a legislature what was coming one day ahead or one week ahead, how can we as the state of Washington know what, you know, 2 months from now, 6 months from now will be like? So that's just more me being more risk adverse when it comes to things like that. But having said that, I think the state of Washington has a pretty healthy reserve account. We have an excellent rainy day fund. And so I think we are positioned to weather the storm. But I was on a legislative conference call with my elected members of the Senate Republican leadership team just yesterday, and we were already having some discussions about other things the state could do. What could we do in terms of potentially an economic stimulus or other opportunities? What will the federal government do? I mean, the federal government and the state government right now is so busy just responding to the current crisis that once the dust settles on that and we kind of calm things down there, perhaps there will be opportunities economically to provide some relief. My office has been receiving numerous calls from constituents who have questions about whether, you know, it's, you know, what benefits the state may provide. I know Ken Johannesson did an excellent piece just this morning on that, but there are other answers that we can provide a lot of people's questions. So if people are out there listening and have questions about state assistance or information about business benefits, please contact our office and we'll try to provide some information. We've been also fielding a lot of information about from our school districts who are still, some of them, trying to provide free and reduced lunches, even though they'll be closed. You know, what opportunities will be available to staff in our school districts? And so there's just a lot of questions right now. And this is really an opportunity for legislative offices all throughout the state to really do our job and step up and try to provide good information to the people who have questions. And that itself could help sort of keep everyone from panicking in this situation. Because I think if we all pull together in this time, regardless of political party, we can really, you know, do good things for the state of Washington. So I think it is the time to try to support the governor. I think it's the time to support our president and try to get through this together as families, as businesses, and as states.
Well, we better learn to, because it's the only way we're going to make it through it at all. And United States, regardless of, again, its political persuasions at the time, has a real lengthy history and a storied history of doing just that in times of trial like this one. So 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins, appreciate all the time again, all of it during the 2020 legislative sessions. And I know we'll chat again down the road, especially if you go back into special session. So,
yeah, well, thank you, Chris. I just want to say it just was a pleasure to be on with you each week and the Coho listeners. And maybe now that spring weather is coming around and we can't be indoors, maybe this is a great opportunity for all of us to enjoy our world famous outdoor recreation here in the 12th district. So, but anyway, thanks so much for having me on each week.
You bet. And thanks for the setup to remind folks that we have Sarah Schaefer from Wenatchee Outdoors with us next hour to talk about something other than coronavirus and also ways we can get out and enjoy what Brad was just talking about. Again, 12th district state senator Brad Hawkins with us today here in studio on the Coho Morning Show.